of season.
No, I don't know. No.
Behold, I stand at the door and
in his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching. This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I am glad to be with you today. There is a topic that some people don't ever talk about anymore because we're all sandokis, as I say. Now, sandokis, big saints. And I guess the topic has to do with sin. And I want to talk about sin as Paul talks about sin as a power. It's not just a word, but it is a power because it is empowered by the man behind the sheet. And that's the devil. And so, sin is not something that you play with because it is out to get your whole being. That's sin. It starts off in such an innocent way. That's the way it starts. And you see, once you've sinned, you can just say, well, here is some more. And I'll just go just a little further the next time. And a little further the next time. And a little further the next time. Sin is a power, and it wants to overcome God's people. It has already overcome the world at this point, because the world is apart from God. And by the world, I do not mean the earth. I mean the system of the world. That Jesus says you're in it, in the world, but not of it. So sin really is in the world, and the devil wants to pin it on those who say they love the Lord. That's what he wants to do. And he has had a lot of experience, and he knows how to do it. He knows each one of our Achilles heels. He really does. He knows the Achilles heels of the individual as well as organizations. And of course, sin will always, always, and forever strike at pride. The pride of man. The lust of the eyes. That's the way it is. Let's give it some meat now. We have a skeleton. Sin starts with a little child who begins to take things and gets away with it. The worst thing that could ever happen is when you sin, you get away with it. You always know God's elect. He lets them get discovered rapidly so that they learn in the beginning. But those that are not discovered, they begin to think. Well, I got away with this, and what else can I get away with? What else can I get away with? And so you go a little further. And you go a little further. And you go a little further. This is overtime now. Until you are taken over by it. That is why it is a power. Empowered by the man behind the sheet. Who is the devil? The scripture says that Jesus came to destroy sin and the works of the devil. That's why Jesus came. He did not come to give us a philosophy. He came to be the sacrifice for our sins and to destroy the devil and his works. That's why he came. Now, sin is not only in the individual, okay? Let's talk about the individual. It's Nobody knows, you see, you're driving around. Nobody knows what you're doing. Nobody knows but you and God. And you've had a rough week. No, a rough month. No, a rough year. So you want to soothe yourself. And you drive by one of these striptease joints. And your car almost drives itself into the place. That's where the energy is coming from. Like the car is going where it needs to go. And so you begin to get addicted to this kind of stuff and the stuff that happens there. And I don't have to go into an experience of what happens there. I tell you, nothing good happens there. Now the sin is you have to keep this from your family. Because you see, you're a churchgoer. You even pray before meals. But you've got this second part of you, this other part, that wants you destroyed. And beloved, it will destroy you if you do not uncover it. It will destroy you. We don't even have to go anymore to these strip joints. We just need to get onto the computer. That's all you need to do. And you can have your own secret life that nobody knows about. And it gets worse and worse. You become addicted to this sickness. You become addicted to this sickness. That's right. And it gets worse and worse. The best thing for you to do is to uncover it, to take away your pride, and to admit before somebody that this is in your life and it's taken up your life. You see, the ultimate goal of the power of sin is to destroy you and to lead you to hell. That's the ultimate goal. And to render you ineffective in this life. Because you cannot walk two ways. There are other sins besides sexual sins, you know. There's the sin of greed. How do I get to a certain place no matter who I kill or step on? There's a sin of lust. There's a sin of gluttony. There's the perverse spirit. But always know that the sin wants to destroy you. It might not seem that way now, but the ultimate goal of the power of sin is to get you in a gutter, and when you're so low, to step on your neck and say, "You fool. Honest." And sin is like having cockroaches. If you don't expose them and call the exterminator, you want to know what happens? They multiply. Especially in the dark. Just like cockroaches. And you know what? People usually don't start off that way. No, they do not start off that way. When a man of God or a woman of God begins Their heart is pure. They want to serve the Lord. They do all that they can. And then different things begin to happen. They might get burnt out. So they need to stroke themselves with sin. Or they become power hungry. So they stroke themselves with sin. Or they feel it's coming to them because all that they do, and they stroke themselves with sin. And the ultimate goal of sin is to destroy the person, put him in the gutter, step on his neck, say, "You fool." It doesn't start off big. It starts off little. But, you know, yeast under the proper conditions, and there are no proper conditions, could cover the world. If there were proper conditions of a piece of yeast, that the proper conditions, the temperature, the darkness, or whatever, was perfect, a little thing of yeast could cover the world. Maybe in more than a day, but could cover the whole world. Now, of course, that's not going to happen, but that's what sin does. That's what sin does. To render you ineffective. To make you guilty. To have you think that you're not worthy. And to really ultimately let go of Jesus Christ. Whatever sin it is, you do not run from God, you run to Him. Whatever sin it is, you do not run from Christ Jesus, you run to Him. Do not run from Him, because you'll only get worse. Run to Him and cry out for mercy. Whatever sin it is. I remember many years ago, a woman came to me and told me she was unforgivable because she had 7 abortions. But she was not unforgivable. Each abortion just proved that the last one was right. And it was time to break that tormenting lie. And that's the way things are with sin. It wants to destroy you. I want to look now at the experience of sin in the Catholic universities. You take any Catholic university run by Jesuits for the most part, and they're all the same. They're all the same. But it didn't start that way. It didn't start the way that it has ended up. And it's not ended yet. Catholic universities in the 50s were Catholic universities. They taught theology and they taught philosophy, and they were great. They were great. When you left the Jesuit institution, you were prepared not only to do work, but you were prepared for a life. Because the Jesuits taught you that it was not only work, it was a life, and it was a life of faith. Then the 60s came and craziness entered into the church. Some people say it was the Vatican Council. I don't think so. I think it was the time. Everybody was nuts in the 60s. But you see, the church must never be avant-garde, and neither must the institutions run by the church be avant-garde, that we want to be like the world, and like we want to be Ivy League. We want to put our name up in light, just like building the Tower of Babel. It's pride. And then you know what happens? You let down. You let down your defenses. And you let in the satanic powers. Kay Keeler, who's now 92 years old, God bless her. I remember her when she came to the Cenacle in the 1970 with her family. Her husband's name was Russell. Russell worked at Boston College. And in the 70s, they had posters for Planned Parenthood for people who had problem pregnancies. Russell told us that. Russell is in heaven by grace, but his story is still true. No one believed it until they saw it themselves. That was the 70s. You only know that sin being a power is not going to just rest there, do you? It's going to get bigger. It's going to grow like yeast. It's out to destroy. It's like cockroaches not being attended to, and worse. So now, at Boston College, the theology department is, many of them, you know, agnostics or deists. They certainly are not Christians. They do not believe in the bodily resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, many of them. And this is the crap that they give the kids. And only God knows what they've told them about birth control. And I don't know about Boston College, but I can talk about two colleges right now that are Jesuit run. First, Holy Cross. You would think that the name Holy Cross would bring people to their knees. But unfortunately, the name means nothing. The cross on which our Lord died means nothing to Holy Cross. Let me tell you what they're doing. They're going to have seminars, and they have invited Planned Parenthood in at Holy Cross in Worcester, Jesuit run. Oh yeah, they will be talking about birth control and abortion. They'll be talking about all these things. The very things that the church has spoken vehemently against. That Benedict the 15th told us that the birth control mentality would bring in the abortion mentality. He was a prophet. So in Holy Cross in Worcester, Planned Parenthood is coming to teach. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? No, they do not come after Alan McCullen, who helps the women through the pregnancy and after. No, because Eleanor doesn't have a name. And Eleanor is not going to let them feel like they're part of the world. Because, you see, we want to be modern, and we need to deal with these experiences, and they're real, and the way we will deal with them, we'll have Planned Parenthood. The wife of the devil to come and teach our young. That's very interesting. That if my children were in Holy Cross, I'd pull them out. I'd just say, you know what? This is the last straw. Yesterday, Eleanor was standing by the abortion mill. By the abortion mill, as she does every Tuesday and Wednesday. Last week, there were two or three saves. Hallelujah. Because they were there. Church wasn't there because the church doesn't really care. We say we care, but we don't care. But anyway, Eleanor was there. And Eleanor was there yesterday. And a young woman stops and says to her, I see you here all the time. You know, I had an abortion. And as a result, I'm on medication for depression. And only God knows all the other things that the poor woman has gone through. You see, Planned Parenthood doesn't talk about post-abortion syndrome. They say it's not real. You see, Boston College or Holy Cross College, they don't talk about post-abortion syndrome. You know what they talk about? Let's bring in Planned Parenthood. You need to call Boston Holy Cross. Holy Cross College in Worcester and speak to people that this is an offense to Jesus Christ. What's the other one in Washington? What's it? Yeah, it is. The other college that's doing it. The other one I gave you from Ryan.
I don't remember the name.
No. We got another Jesuit college. You know what they're doing? This Jesuit-run college. And last year, there was a woman who was an intern at Planned Parenthood and wasn't paid, so they see that's kind of unfair. So now, people that are interning in Planned Parenthood will get paid. What's the name of the college in Washington, D.C.? It's a law place. They do law. It's a Jesuit law college. I know the name, it's just not coming to me. It should be closed down. So what do they have out there? I'll tell you what they have. They're just going to fund people who work in Planned Parenthood. Isn't that wonderful? The death squads. I want to tell you, what Luther experienced was nothing as compared to what we're going through when he broke away from the church. This is truly the whore of Babylon, these segments of the church. This is truly the whore of Babylon that the Bible talks about. Now, don't you get wise now, thinking that, you see, the Catholic Church is the whore of Babylon. I'm not saying that. I'm saying these segments of the Catholic Church are the whore of Babylon. And you might be too, because you know about abortion, and you do diddly squat. You sit down on your laurels, and you just sit there and think about how bad it is. Yeah, you and the devil. You and the devil. Rather than get your duff off yourself and start doing something that's going to save a life. So you might be the whore of Babylon too. You might be the whore of Babylon too. Because you know. I can't talk, I'm on radio. You might be the whore of Babylon too. Because you know the truth, and nobody does anything. Nobody does anything. And that's pathetic. Totally, totally pathetic. So stop throwing stones. It's time to look at yourself and say, what can I do? What can I do? And I'm going to tell you, we can't do big things, but we can do little things. This is reality. Segments of the church have become the satanic world. And nobody says anything about it. And you know, last night I got the whole answer in a couple of words. These institutions are Jesuit institutions. They were founded by Ignatius of Loyola. Ignatius of Loyola was always, always into the discernment of spirits, to discern which spirit is of the Lord and which spirit is of hell. These Jesuits don't know Ignatius' experience any more than the devil does. They have called evil good and good evil. They have called light darkness and darkness light. Maybe because they want to be Ivy League colleges. Maybe because, like Babel, they want to make a name for themselves. Maybe because they have forgotten Jesus Christ and why they are there. But for whatever reason it is, Catholic colleges that are like Boston College and Holy Cross, they're nothing but brothels where they can use their dormitories to have girls and boys come in and even have orgies. Or boys and boys, or girls and girls, because we don't want to discriminate. That is what has happened to places like Boston College. Does everyone do that? No. But I'm going to tell you, there's a large percentage of young people that are being duped. I was speaking to a mother yesterday about her daughter. Her daughter's having a very difficult time in college. I said, you know why? Because she's good. She said, you're right. She's good. And she has confronted evil. And she's different. I said, you tell her to hang in there because you know what? She will prevail. Because God will prevail in her. The school might fall apart, but she will prevail. And God will prevail in her. It is a sad thing when you send your children to school in innocence, and in the first 2 weeks they come out like slime balls, rejected because they're not sexually active, because their morals are the morals of the church and of the scripture. And so they will be mocked. And you know what? Not too many people are strong. Most will give in. Most will give in. Why? Because sin is a power. And it is empowered by the man behind the sheet. God have mercy upon us. God bless you.
All I stand at the door and this has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you.
Hello,
that new address
Father
again
DiLorenzo.
Is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.